Okay, Blake, I've been working on some jingles for our new website launch. So I've got churchy, churchy, church, church gear.
Toby, what have I told you about singing on the podcast? It doesn't work. But you know what is working? Our new website. You can actually get it to load on your phone. You can actually buy a new piece of gear without your phone bursting into flames.
Well, what if I spelled it out like C-H-U-R-C-G-E-R?
Toby, stop. That is not working. But you know what is working? The search bar on our website. You can actually search speakers and speakers will appear. No joke, that didn't always work.
Okay, what if I just did something like go to churchgear.com?
You know what? That one works.
Blake, what's the last book you've read?
Is that what 1980s people called a podcast on paper?
Welcome to the Church Gear Podcast, where we pull the tech out of the booth and onto the stage to share the most outlandish stories and hidden wisdom from the tech trenches. And now, here are your hosts.
I'm your host, Blake Hodges, a man who refuses to touch paper after that horrific paper cut I got in 1991. And I'm here with my co-host, who has always had a book in one hand and a taco in another, Toby Walters.
Do you feel like maybe I'm using the book as a napkin for my greasy taco fingers?
I know you have, because every time I pick up one of your books, it's sticky and it smells delicious.
So, Blake, every time I recommend a book to you, I'll kind of like hand you the digital copy and you'd be like, oh, thanks, Toby. And then I feel like I see you turn around and pull out your phone and look for the audio version.
Toby, I'm going to confess something live on the podcast. Here's my church tech confessional.
Mm-hmm.
I still have multiple of your books on my bookshelf.
Yes. Bring them back.
I feel bad because I haven't read them. But yeah, if there's not a digital audio version, I'm not going to read it. There's just not enough time.
And there is enough time if you prioritize your life, Blake, but
Toby, you told me I had to work 23 and a half hours a day.
There is that too. And in Adam Grant's new book, Hidden Potential, it says that when you listen to a book, you retain roughly 59%, but when you read it, you retain 81%. So just for kicks and giggles, Blake, that statistic.
I am listening to an audiobook for the second time. So I think that might be the trick, is listen to it twice.
Okay. Is it about football and bourbon?
No, all those I actually read are physical. I do have a lot of physical cocktail books.
Because they have pictures.
Yep. They look pretty.
So, Blake, you know I'm an Enneagram 7, which means I get very distracted very quickly.
Never noticed.
So the fact that I read is actually impressive, I think, for an Enneagram 7.
You need a pat on the back, Tobes.
I do, you know. But I also usually have like 6 books going at once.
That is a madman trait, dude. Like, if you go off the deep end, that's going to be the thing they open your documentary with.
So there's usually like 3 categories. I've got my, you know, God books that I'm reading in the morning during my quiet time. And so right now I'm working through Knowing God, kind of an old classic. I don't know if you've read it, Blake, but
I'm just still wondering if you've ever met God.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I'm reading about it. And then a new one just came out. Darren Whitehead at Church of the City wrote The Digital Fast, which is kind of like taking a break from technology and our devices to focus our hearts more on God and relationships.
You have to read that one because you can't do an audio if it's a digital fast. That'd be
that
hilarious.
That is the irony of that one. And then I always have business books going. So one that I'm almost done with and I absolutely love it. It's called How Big Things Get Done. And it's this research professor on what are called mega projects. So things like skyscrapers and nuclear power plants and even things like the Olympics and IT projects and the percentage of time that they go right and the percentage of time that they go horribly wrong. And it's shocking to see how that all interlaces.
Did you get that book because you've been feeling constipated recently? You're trying to figure out how to get some big things done?
You're trying to push some big projects out, you know? But every single page reminded me, Blake, of our current huge project that we're working on at Church Gear. What is that right now? What are we right in the midst of trying to launch or relaunch?
Oh man, time-wise, I don't know when this episode is posting, so I might actually not be able to say that.
Okay.
Let's just say we're working on a giant project right now. That's a tease.
A huge IT-based project. How about that? So it was very timely as I'm reading this book to be like, thank Jesus that we have Doug Hester, because shout out to Doug Hester. That guy is crazy awesome.
Most important employee at Church Gear.
And Blake, the third category I always have is just fun reading. So if I'm eating lunch, I often eat lunch by myself and I love to just have my book there. And then I also usually have another book going as an audiobook in my car as I'm driving around.
I thought you hated audiobooks, Toby.
I like them for when I drive.
Okay.
So I've got my mystery novel on my Kindle that I'm reading during lunch. And then I've also got my, you know, mystery novel as I'm driving around. Two different books.
It's a mystery to me. You can keep up with all these books in your mind.
I know. It's kind of fun. So my most recent audiobook, what I do is I go to the library app and I search through the most recent, most popular ones that are available. And then I pick one and I download it and I listen to it. And sometimes, you know, I start listening and I'm like, I'm just not really into this one. So I cancel it, download a new one, you know, just common stuff. And so last week I go on the library app and I look for them. Yeah, I sort by popularity and what's available now. And so the top result comes in and it says new mystery thriller by, and I didn't recognize the author, but as New York Times bestseller. And so I thought, okay, like mystery novel, New York Times bestseller, sounds fun. So I download it and I start listening. And the premise is that this woman who lives in New York wants to go on vacation. And so she decides I'm going to rent an Airbnb in Wyoming. So she gets there and it's this beautiful ranch on all this land. And she meets the man who owns the Airbnb and his name is Calvin and he's tall and ruggedly handsome. And then there's another woman in
Toby,
town.
I'm gonna have to Charlotte,
bleep
there's all
some
of this
competition. And Blake, before I knew it, I am neck deep in a romance novel, my friend.
At least you're neck deep. That's better than the other options here.
And so I'm like, all of a sudden I realize, oh no, this is a romance novel, but Blake, I'm already invested. And so I am totally listening to a romance
novel.
Does
Shelly
right
know about
now.
This?
Oh, she knows. And
she loves it.
It's the funniest thing. She even told me that she feels like maybe just once a year, married men should read a romance novel just to get a woman's perspective on just, you know, romance and love. And so here I am, Blake, just in it.
Okay, that's as funny as it is probably very applicably true. That's mm-hmm. Our tech romance tip for today.
Yes.
Read a romance novel. And the person that narrates romance novels when he's not working at church is the worship and creative arts executive producer at Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky, Brad Bramer. Brad, did I say your last name right?
You did. You got it right, man.
Boom. Have you ever read a romance novel, Brad?
Recently. I don't think I have.
Ah, Brad.
Song of Solomon, maybe something like that.
Oh, that is the original romance novel. If you read Song of Solomon and understand what's going on there, it is wildly inappropriate.
Isn't there like a reference to your something body part is like a goat? There's like
there's a lot of strange references. It's fawns, it's very and
planet,
doves,
it's very and, planet Earth.
Yeah, palm trees and coconuts and all, you know, okay. All the good fruit.
All right, before we get canceled, I don't, how many rooms can I be in and it's getting hot with Toby? Here we go. All right, Brad, let's do some five truths and a lie because the only thing more risque than romance is lying. Number one, I entered high school with a second grade reading level and had to retake elementary classes before my freshman year. I felt like Billy Madison.
Blake, have you ever seen Billy Madison?
Adam Sandler is a national treasure. Number two, after not
releasing... Set the man who's never read a book.
After not... Because I'm too busy watching movies. After not releasing a handshake with Ryan Seacrest in the proper time frame, his security removed our hands from one another.
I wonder if there was heavy eye contact as well.
Number three, I nearly lost my right foot shin down from a broken brown recluse spider bite. Ooh. My brain didn't say it right because I refused to think about those. I saw the pictures of those when my friends were nursing school. Toby, have you ever seen that?
I feel like I've Googled it and immediately been like, nope, I'm going to go back to my romance novel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Number four, I have traveled to our 47th of the 48 lower states in the U.S. North Dakota is the only remaining state to visit. That's a tough drive. Number five, he snuck in an extra one here. Number five, I co-wrote, produced, played, was lead vox, and mixed a full-length kid worship album as a side hustle, and we nearly got booked for a festival.
So he was lead vocals for a kid's record? This is interesting.
I believe it. Number six, I had to tell Lance Bass. Haven't we had multiple Lance Bass things? I had to tell Lance Bass from NSYNC not to place his beverage on my lighting console at the Barnes Table Brown after party on Derby.
Wow.
That's
a mouthful.
That's true. It's not true. Toby, you should pick that one. seventh, I got into production after watching a friend cut worship visuals between three different digital juice VHS tapes from three different VHS players with auto rewind, of course.
Wow. He has lived quite a life in these five truths. Six truths and a lie?
Or
six truths and a lie. Yeah. I think, Blake, let me have an extra.
Okay.
Or Brad is going to be our first guest to finally be man enough or woman enough. I mean, not for him, but whoever, to say all lies and just really blow our minds.
That would be amazing. Okay. I'm locking mine in already. Sorry, Blake. I'm
all right, going first. Hit me with yours then.
I'm going to say he's lying about visiting 47 out of 48 states. I'm going to say either he's visited them all or he's not visited nearly as many.
I think that's really good.
Thank you. I read books.
I listen to them. Number two, I'm going to go with that one. The handshake with Ryan Seacrest.
All right, I want that to be true so bad.
Oh, same. Yeah. Brad, I've got Seacrest. He's got the states. What's the truth?
Toby has it.
Blake.
I actually hate traveling. I have been nowhere near 47 states. And I get out of traveling at all costs. I'm a homebody at heart.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speechless.
Blake, okay. How many states do you think you've been to at this point? Because you're not a big traveler.
I'm not a homebody. I'm not a traveler. I am a creature of habit. So yeah. I'll find a city and I'll take four of my different like friend groups to that city.
Okay.
So I haven't been to a bunch, but I've been to a couple a lot. Okay. Brad, tell us about getting removed from Ryan Seacrest.
And was there heavy eye contact?
So, there was a lot of contact in general. So we were at Times Square New Year's Eve. I think it was 2005. And, you know, you're packed in there and, you know, Times Square, you're in these gates that they don't let you exit to leave the restroom. And Nick Lachey is hosting on the MTV stage. Remember MTV? And Ryan Seacrest, who's probably in his prime, is walking down, giving high fives, handshakes. And I just decided I'm going to latch on and see what happens. And I latched on and he was very kind for a good 2.5 to 3 seconds. And then kind of gave a hand signal and his detail very quickly separated us. And I could tell that he has longed for me ever since.
Was there a lot of heat exchange through that handshake?
there's a brief second where you go from like enthusiasm to panic. And I think both of us experienced that.
From
his detail and him from me, you know, like this guy is probably a little crazier than I thought.
His security detail got the wrong signal. He wasn't saying security. He was saying, I found the next American Idol right here.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Clearly.
Tell us about almost losing your right foot. Me and Toby will throw up as we mute our mics.
So I was playing cards one night with my buddies in high school, and we used to always play poker and spades. And I got up to walk. It's like 3 or 4 in the morning to go home, and I couldn't walk on my right leg at all. So I drove home with my left foot. I had no idea what was going on. And then the next morning I woke up and there's just like this small pimple. And I thought, I don't know what it is. Maybe I sprained my ankle, something like that. So my mom's a nurse, which if you're in a medical family, people that work in the medical field don't care about you because they're so used to everything.
My wife tells me all the time. She's like, oh, Blake, you have the ankle cancer. Is that why your ankle hurts? Yes, Brad is 100% right on this.
And so my mom is like, tough it up, you're fine. And so for 2.5 weeks, I try to muscle through it. But by the end of that, there's like it looks like a small black volcano that's just grown on top of my shin. And apparently brown recluse bites within 24, 48 hours will eat a massive amount of skin tissue. However, in my case, it just started eating down into my bone. And by the time they sampled it and got it back, they're like, hey, if this is in your bone marrow, we're going to have to lop your leg off mid shin to prevent it from going up your leg. Wow. And so they like, I think a sophomore junior in high school. So they rush me to, that rush is, you know, an over exaggeration, but they, we drive quickly to the hospital and they just, essentially create a cater in my leg instead of lopping it off. But I had fantasies of what, having one leg would be like, and I had some good ideas as a high school kid.
Could have been the bionic man right there.
Yep.
Blake, I mean, if we lopped off both your arms, it wouldn't affect your ability to read, would it?
It would. Well, I'm actually really good with my feet, and I'll let y'all, you know, just live with that. Okay, tell us about Lance Bass and him not placing his beverage on your lighting console. We've heard of people putting beverages on lighting consoles and having really bad effects.
Yeah. So every year I ran a lighting production company for a handful of years when I moved back to Louisville, and we would always light the big after party of Derby is the Barnstable Brown, where they have a lot of live shows. And then there, the after party of the after party is at this hotel in town. And it's where a lot of celebrities would, you know, come around midnight, 1 a.m., something like that. And so Lance and his entourage come down. And obviously, as a big Backstreet Boy and NSYNC fan growing up, I recognized him immediately. And so I ran the risk of like, do I say something or do I not? And then I thought, this is the only time I'll get to talk to him. And I said, Mr. Bass, would you please remove your beverage from my console, please? And he did. He was very polite.
I can just imagine him looking at you and then challenging you to a dance off. And just, I can play the whole movie in my head, and it's a beautiful thing. You win in the end. But he does not invite you to be the newest member of NSYNC
or Mr. Yeah, Bass.
Yes. Yeah, that's good.
We had somebody, and I don't remember the guest, but they had an NSYNC reference in their Five Truths and a Lie. And Blake, instead of saying NSYNC, said NSYNC.
Oh, man.
I was a real B host that day. Yeah. I got to tell you, not much embarrasses me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm embarrassed by that one. I'm a child of the 90s. I should have known that.
Yeah.
Okay, Brad, I'm going to throw you on. Well, I was going to throw you under the bus, but I'm wondering if you read this outline beforehand, because you finally accepted my Facebook friend request that I had open for like 6 months.
Grandpa Toby over here.
Hey, I 100% read it sometime last week, and I thought, oh, man, I kind of forgot about Facebook friend requests, and you were not the only one. My aunts and some of my cousins were there. I don't know that I've hit a friend request on Facebook in the last 6 years. And so I'm so sorry, but thank you for telling me.
And look at me bringing families together by throwing them under the bus. He was like, oh, I have aunts and cousins. Look at that. We're all very proud of you, Brad.
Hey, thank you so much. It's been a great day to get on Facebook.
Okay, so I got to visit you at Southeast Christian. I didn't realize, I mean, I knew that Southeast Christian was a big church, but just the ministry, the space, the everything you guys do, like, it is massive. One of the largest, I think it was the largest, like, physical church building in the country at one point. So give us a snapshot of how in the heck you are qualified to lead this team over at Southeast Christian. Or if you're not at all and you just happened into it, that's fine as well.
Yeah, I'm not at all qualified to do it. It's just by the Lord's grace and fake it till you make it.
And what led you to it, though?
Go ahead. Say that again.
What led you to it? What? Give us just a snapshot of your background and how it led up to your current role today.
Yeah, so I grew up in the Louisville area, and I didn't grow up at this church. I grew up at one of our a sister church, kind of on the other end of town. And I went to the University of Louisville for 2.5 weeks. And dropped out. And then
Amen.
Moved to Cincinnati for a bit, ended up at Southland Christian Church in Lexington, Kentucky, another sister church, and worked there for 6 years. Left ministry for a little bit just to find my bearings and my compass a little bit. Ran a lighting production company here in Louisville, which is where I met, the dark horse of NSYNC. And then I came on staff here in 2015 doing post audio work. So I have music, audio background, but doing post audio work, and then started producing weekend services. And then just stepped into a little bit more as time went on, and kind of been in my current seat with our current team for a handful of years now. And Have a good team, great church. I could have never planned for ending up where I am. It's wild.
So one of the conversations we had recently with another guest was just the idea of worship versus production, or worship and production together. It sounds like, just based on your title, that at Southeast, are you guys one team under the same roof? How does that function?
Yeah, so we view ourselves as one large expression with kind of three different departments or teams that run, you know, inside that. Creative team, which is content and marketing, our worship teams, and production. But we all very much share the same space. We share the same heart, the same vision, and really the same methodology of how to move our church forward and how to serve the people that God's entrusted to us. And so my job is trying to make all three of those departments' gears click intentionally together or intentionally apart.
So give us some of the pros and cons of having all of these people, you know, cats and dogs living together. I mean, like, what's some of the pros you see at being so close together? What are some of the cons that you see?
And Blake, just before he gets there, do you see worship as the cat people or production as the cat people and vice versa?
This is so easy. Worship is definitely dog people and production are cat people because cats are like aloof. They're hanging out like in the whatever, their comfy like spot. Mm-hmm. That's their whole thing.
I feel like we could get some more, feedback from the community on this in a future.
Maybe do a poll.
Yeah. Okay. I like that.
Until then, Brad, what would you say some of the pros and the cons of the worship production and even throwing content marketing in there? That's fun. What's the pros and cons of all those teams together?
Yeah. I mean, the big win is when it works, it works. And the integration of that size of a team and that many people, you know, on the same page clicking and moving forward is huge. Bigger vision, bigger resources, a wider net to cast vision and shepherd our volunteers because we all share the same spaces. We all have projects. Production has projects that, you know, our creative and worship teams help support in. Our worship team has projects that, you know, creative and production support in, and vice versa. So, kind of the size of the team is the biggest strength, and sharing a common ecosystem and common communication, you know, channels, and also, I mean, all three of those areas touch the same stuff so often that trying to fight for alignment is hard, you know, undoubtedly, because everyone's so different. I think it's a battle worth fighting for. It also helps in our context. All three of those areas tend to be the three areas that traditional church people know the least about. And so having accurate representation across those of all the unknowns in church work is really helpful.
Yeah, I feel like it can so often happen with production departments that it's not that they don't have a voice, but they feel like they don't necessarily have a voice when it comes to communicating to senior leadership. Usually the worship pastor feels like he can talk with the executive pastor, the senior pastor, whoever it is, and they can, you know, see eye to eye. But if the production leader is thinking, okay, the audio mixer is going to die in a few months, I better just duct tape it together and keep my mouth shut. Do you feel like at Southeast that you have, more of an advocate between senior leadership and all those teams because you're together? Does it kind of translate that way?
Yeah, absolutely. Case in point, we are having, you know, we're in the kind of the throes of some pretty large scale audio failures in our system, which is an older system in general. I'll say, like, it helps having a wildly empowering and trusting leadership team that we have. I can't think of one failure that our senior pastor hasn't said, hey, I know you guys are on it, and I know you guys are way more bummed out about that than I am. Let me know how I can help. That the character of our pastor and our executive team is, you know, fantastic. We end up talking, you know, pretty equal parts from a escalation process or what's good, what's bad, what needs to be fixed. Production, worship, and creative worlds kind of all get a fair shake. It also helps that our pastor really cares about our pastor and our supervisor, our lead, really cares about giving our team the tools that we all need to do our job well, which makes the world a difference. Yeah.
So then tell us about a moment, like maybe pros and cons. Now, even as I look at that question, I'm like, maybe that I didn't tee Brad up for the best situation of where I'm wanting to go. I really want to hear a story on how you guys had a conflict that happened cross-departmentally, but you're all together. So how did you solve it? How'd you work through it? Because to me, the conflict might not be fun, but the pro is that y'all are all together. You're able to work through that stuff. Like, you have any moments like that where you could share with us on how y'all solved a problem together, whether it's a conflict with each other or an external conflict that you had to tackle?
Yeah. I mean, the cons to it are certainly it is easier to hole up, I think, for everybody. That's everyone's natural inclination anyway, to be with the people who are more like you. And it is easier to throw shade at things that you don't always understand or fully integrate into. Conflict is something we've had to embrace because it is built into the tensions of how we work together. And so what our LD wants from content and what our designer wants from content, they have to work together. And it's not uncommon for our designer to be walking around with our LD, making shifts, changes, or sharing files with our LD and working on building that trust. Some of the things that don't work out well are, I mean, there are stereotypes to every team. And those are, as much as people would like to say they're not true, they're stereotypes for a reason. And so, yeah, the productions are, we have the productions, the worships, and the creatives. Like, that's our cat names for everybody. But our production team is the first in, last out, just like everywhere else. They're detail-oriented, execution-oriented, and our worships are creative, feely. They want to be in the right headspace. And so the natural conflicts that happen of, oh, I forgot about that, or, oh, I didn't clean up, those are real things that happen week in and week out when you're sharing a space and you're sharing a team and you're sharing equipment and you're sharing resources, then yeah, all of that mess just happens week in and week out. I've tried, and our team leads have tried to use that as an advantage to go, man, these relationships are worth fighting to protect. And so let's discipline our workflow and our communication to protect the relationships. Usually bad relationships happen because bad process or bad communication or, out of line expectations. So if we can get these right, this is a really way to honor the relationships that we have.
Have you ever thought, and because I'm a creative, my brain flows in very strange ways, but have you ever thought of referring to yourselves as the Holy Trinity of the church staff? Because you're, worship, creative, production, and one does not function without the other two.
Yes, that's very true. Yeah. I think we're more like the mysterious Bermuda Triangle rather than the Holy Spirit.
It's where the pastor's vision goes to die.
it's somewhere in this oceanic, mystery. It's in the fog.
That's right. So, Brad, I'm sure you're going to, laugh and tell us, no, that's not true. But because you guys are together as one team, does that mean, when things like a stage redesign happen, that worship just jumps up and gets involved and gets their hands dirty in that? And, do the teams work together in big projects, or do they kind of tend to say, oh, that's production's deal, we don't get involved in that?
When asked. So the rule is like, hey, if you are asked to come and participate, then the expectation is you're part of the team, hop in. We certainly have the problems where, people want to be helpful, but it is not your time to help. And so as much as I want to appreciate you, you unplugging that or moving it right now, walk away and let us do this. And then we'll ask you to go get lunch or to go roll this cable or to clean up this room after we're done. But on any set change week or, our central production director was the lead in our Christmas commercial this year. And so the inverse of that is true as well. Our production team very much hops in to help on, content worship problem or, projects as well, which is really cool. But the answer is yes, it is a discipline, and sometimes we have to manufacture that result. But the idea is that, we all have to be invested in one another's worlds for this to work. And so that takes not just having a, intellectual interest, but a physical buy-in to their world as well.
Brad, that is such a, I don't know if you, this is an accident or not, but like that is so wise when you added when asked, because at Church Gear, Toby, we experienced this where there's almost like when you're too excited to help everybody, mm-hmm. sometimes you can jump in someone's sandbox. Like, I'm here to help, and you mess it all up. Like
like what I do every day, right?
I'm not pointing any fingers that can be seen on screen. But no, Brad, that's really smart. I love that as a team tech away, or team tech takeaway, because, yeah, having the heart and the willingness to help, but, you know, make sure you've been asked into the sandbox before you mess it up. That's really good, man.
And the reverse is also true around here, that some people will be buried under their responsibilities, and then they're, you know, their supervisor would say, did you ask for help? And they said, no, I didn't want to bother anyone. Like, you've got to also ask.
Mm. Man, that's what I was going to say is it's a sign of humility if you're willing to go help somebody else. It is often more of a sign of humility if you're willing to ask to be helped. And that's something that all of us have to kind of keep on the threshold dial of, what you can do in 4 hours, a team of six can do in, 90 minutes. And so sometimes there's strength in that camaraderie and that togetherness. It requires more work. It requires more communication and planning. But also, yeah, you need to ask for help when you're overwhelmed or when you're swimming or drowning or anything else.
Man, that's really good. I love that as an early team takeaway. Okay, well then, Toby, you got one?
Well, I was just thinking that it's probably a bit of a default for production people that I don't want to say they're prideful in a bad way, but like they know what they do well and they're very proud of it. So, it can often feel like to ask for help, I'm having to admit that I can't do it. And that's really hard for people that are proud of what they're good at.
No, I know that's true. Because Deshaun looked at me and said, Blake, you think you're noble because you're not asking for help and you're going to do it all on your own. That is a false humility, and you're hurting the team by not asking the team to help you. And that was a hard thing to hear and understand for 3 months, but was very helpful long term. So Brad, do you guys, do y'all have any of those moments? Like, do you have any of those hard conversations with people? You're like, hey, you need to ask for some help here.
Yeah. One of the mantras we probably have is like, be curious, not skeptical. Which is, hey, when you're on the fringe of asking that, like use your voice wise, and go ahead and ask the question, go ahead and ask for resources, go ahead and ask for clarity, whatever it may be, whether it's physical help or just information. You need more context to something. You need to understand why. We've tried to eradicate the phrase, I don't even know what they do. Because on a big team of, I think there's near 60, 70 of us on a big team like that spread out across 15 campuses, it's easy to look at somebody else and go, why are they valuable? Well, that's the skeptical way to view that. If you are curious as to what they do, why they do it, what their ministry is, and put yourself in the position of a learner or anything else, it makes a world of difference in just feeling like you're actually part of a helpful team and not just a group of people that are occupying the same space.
So, Blake, it makes me think of our Church Gear Olympics that we just did around here. Oh, so
I placed gold. I took it, right from Toby.
Brad, me and our chief of staff were trying to figure out what do we want to do fun for our all-staff day, and I'm a huge fan of the show The Office, and they kind of did that like Office Olympics in one episode. And so I said, what if we could do kind of a Church Gear Olympics? And at first I said, maybe we could have like a push-up contest. And I think eventually we landed on, well, let's make it all, Church Gear themed and have people that don't work in other people's jobs try and do their jobs in a competition.
And
it was
love it.
Hilarious to watch people that didn't know how to pack boxes or didn't know how to test gear, didn't know how to plan trips or do marketing or all this stuff, try and do other people's jobs. And it was very enlightening, wasn't it, Blake?
Oh, I thought the whole exercise was just to build empathy for other departments, because by the end of the day, I was impressed by everyone else and grateful for the job I had, that I didn't have to do their job. It sounded very difficult.
So yeah, Brad, I'll go ahead.
I think you guys should set up a, special worship night that you don't invite anyone to, but all the production people do worship and the worship do production and just see what happens.
I would love that. I think it'd be something we would want to stream for sure.
So Brad, I got the pleasure of actually being in person and seeing your space. I think you said you have the, I mean, once Lakewood redid the, you know, Rockets Center, that you guys now have the second largest church auditorium in America. I'm assuming that creates some unique challenges and also some unique setup of gear. So tell us just like some of the basics of your, you know, line array and audio mixers and LED deployment and whatnot. That's just fascinating to Southeast.
Yeah. So I think the original building was built somewhere in the, I want to say like 98. So it's a, you know, handful of years old. I think originally seated 9,000 people. I think current capacity is around, active capacity is around 7,600 or something like that. And it's kind of two thirds in the round, which is unique in and of itself. It's five, you know, floors high. And, you know, it's a massive, you know, space. We have about an 18, 19 year old Adamson, you know, PA, you know, four hangs that kind of, our stage kind of has a, you know, semicircle feel to it. So it's a, we have Absin LED panels. We're a Digico house, at least at our broadcast campus. So run SD8s. And we're also a Canon house. So most everything in the room is C700s or C300s. And, you know, it's a really awesome space. Some of the challenges, the size is obviously, you know, a massive challenge. All of our actual man positions are about as far away from you. You know, you probably remember walking up a million steps. Yep. And just walking hundreds and hundreds of yards between broadcasts and front of house and video and backstage. And that creates some challenges just in cable data runs and basic, you know, I can't tell you the amount of times we've been backstage and we're like, we need to launch countdown in the next, you know, 70 seconds. And I know that it's about a 121 second walk for me.
Wow.
Or jog. And so, you know, just getting to different positions is a challenge. It's also hard. You know, one of the challenges we've had in streaming since is we really want to make our, we want to present our room to be intimate and small, which is, can actually be a challenge, you know, a space so big to how do you have a, you know, a intimate broadcast experience to where if someone's watching this, whether in, you know, hospital, nursing home, we also worship alongside about 7,000 people in addiction recovery centers throughout the state that our service goes to. And so how do we pull these people into an intimate moment, but also help, you know, connect them to the wider church body? And so trying to balance those things in a room that large with 25-year-old infrastructure is a fun challenge.
And you said you guys are having potential like audio system failures, or you see the writing on the wall. Like what's coming down the pike that you guys know is going to be a big project soon?
Yeah. So what's coming down the pike for us is really looking at our entire audio transport system and how we're putting signals to and fro. That's one of the things that is the most out of date in our space. Mm. The audio feed in bathrooms to hallways to PA to our campuses and to online, that is beginning to fail. And so yeah, we're in kind of triage mode right now, protecting core audio signal path to, you know, the main distribution channels, and really trying to patch together a temporary solution without a lot of felt impact for people in the room or downstream.
And I know that churches with very large auditoriums, like it's, you know, there's some excitement of just what you can do in a room of that size when you fill it with bodies. And then, but there's also just the reality.
Living bodies, breathing people, not bodies. Church members.
Good clarification, Blake. But there's also the unique challenges of, you know, maintaining and updating. And, you know, every time you refresh a project, it's just that much bigger. So does it help quite a bit, even going back to your communication with senior leadership of, you know, having their trust to know that, you know, if I hand you an estimate that makes your stomach churn, you're going to trust me that this is what is going to need to be done.
Yeah, 100%. And we really try to measure our voice with our executive and leadership team. And so they know when we ask for something, We are being 100% for real about it. We have worked hard to maintain that empowerment and the trust. And, you know, we, as a church, we give away 25% of our budget to missions. And that is something for a church our size, our production team feels, specifically when you start comparing yourself to other places. And so we have to all embody the ministry model of our church, as well as communicate upstream when we know there's a big financial tax that's coming that no one gets excited about.
Yeah.
Except maybe us, you know, spending money on things that may not make a felt difference in the room, but we've been spending a lot of time and energy really getting our infrastructure in line for just kind of moving the room forward in the next handful of years.
Yeah. Okay, Blake, I'm going to do you a favor since you are so bad at segues, even though you think you're fun at
you're good I at think them. You think that you're great at ruining segues.
So let me see if I can do a segue.
Number one rule of segues is to never say you're doing a segue, Toby.
So, Brad, as you were, you know, having to triage your systems before the big upgrade, you're trying to avoid a disaster. But tell us about one of those times when you didn't avoid that disaster and it just rain down upon you. See, Blake, that's how it's done, buddy.
Okay, I'm taking notes on my piece of paper that you gave me now that we're in 2024.
Yeah, so part of my job is I try to hop in when we're down staff positions. And, you know, jack of all trades, master of none. It's kind of my jam. So I was on week, our video director had you know, turned in his notice and was leaving to go be a GM of a TV station. And so I had never video directed a day in my entire life. This was probably 3 years ago. And so I had 2 weeks to train as video director. And so I'm on week two. This is his last week. Week two, and I'm directing, things are going well. One, one, two, two, you know, whatever. And I see camera one just kind of freezes and then it goes black. And I'm like, hey, we just lost camera one. And everyone's like, that never happens. What's going on? And then everything else just starts, you know, flashing a little bit. And I don't know what's going on at this point. Our video director goes and tries to tech it with, you know, in the Ultrix and starts, you know, it ended up being a total massive clocking failure. Our entire system froze, died, shut down.
Is this during service?
This is in the middle of our 11:15 service. Oh, wow. That's going out everywhere. This is also happened to be a video teaching weekend where our senior pastor was out of town. we filmed him on location somewhere. So it was like a threaded video teaching kind of bit. And this is like my second week in the chair, total collapse, everything, all systems failure. I think it ended up taking us about 8-9 hours to get the video system back up and running. I remember just going, all right, Dolly, I can't see you. Just keep rocking. Just keep rocking. And then at some point we just lose all video in the room, online everywhere. And, you know, I'm just like, what do I do now? And so I'm filling in here, but I'm also trying to produce our services. And so we're trying to get a hold of online and tell them to dump, you know, before something happens downstream. We're on the phone with our campuses trying to tell them, get your campus pastor ready because you're not getting a sermon today, you know, all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, I call our leadership team and our senior pastor, and that's when, you know, Kyle, our pastor, goes, man, I'm sorry, and let me know how I can help, but I know you guys are on it, so see you later. You know, like, which is just a great sense of responsibility to have that trust, but also just a total fail all because of clock.
Blake, I feel like just panic rising in my bones as he's telling the story.
See, I've gotten so used to being like, sorry, I messed up, that I don't feel it at all. And I'm just like, man, that would be so scary to have that responsibility.
Yeah, it just feels so much heavier than like I missed the pastor's cue on the mic and it was late. It's like, Brad, you're watching everything like one by one just go out, 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 and it's all falling down around you and you have no idea how to fix it.
Sounds like Mission Impossible, like he's watching the end of the movie where everything's falling to pieces.
Mm-hmm.
It felt a little surreal. And, you know, we've not really had a lot of massive catastrophic failures in the last handful of years, you know, knock on wood here. But it was one that I just remember going, I don't even quickly know how to respond, and I don't know how to save anything other than kill all video and save audio. You know, it's kind of where everybody goes, because now you're just trying to, I mean, you have, you know, 4,500 people in service who are looking up at screens, just start, you know, going haywire and, all right, let's just kill everything and send somebody out there and say, hey, God's good, regardless of technology. Technology is certainly helpful to advancing the gospel. However, God's still going to build his church. So let's go.
Blake, I love that story. And I also wonder, because you and I both know absolutely nothing about video directing, if that would be a good competition between you and I, just like put us into the fire like Brad was and just see who messes up first.
Toby, that's exactly what churches in America need. They need you and I running a video directing thing for a bit.
No, maybe it'll be during that service that Brad's going to pull off where production does worship and worship does production, and you and I can video direct.
That could work. Or yeah. Maybe, hey, is your video director job still open? You still need someone to fill in?
You guys are welcome anytime. We'll send you the PCO invite.
Oh good. Planning center. I definitely know about that now. Okay, Brad, it feels unfair for me to do this since you already gave us an amazing team takeaway earlier, but I'd love to get a tech takeaway from you and just kind of wrap the episode on some unique piece of advice that you'd give to a room full of techs, whether it be relational, emotional, however Toby says I say it, but what would you say to a room full of techs?
I'll give you a Jesus juke first, and then we'll get to an actual tech takeaway.
We haven't had a Jesus juke in a while. That's great.
You know, for any production person, who you are is so much more important than what you do. And my team gives me a hard time because I really believe that if our hearts and our heads aren't right, it doesn't matter how good we are or what our output is. The Lord uses, you know, a humble spirit and some, you know, a kid who can offer what he has, believing that Jesus can take it and make use of it for so many more people. So, it is great to learn how to run equipment. It's great to, chase a better output and to be better. It is so much more worth your time to make sure that you are connected to the Lord and you are opening scripture with people around you. You're on a good team who you know is praying for you and you are praying for. So that's my Jesus Juke team takeaway, because I think it's that important. My actual tech takeaway would be read the manual before you ask questions. So much can be solved if you actually take the time to read the manual. And, YouTube University, I'm quoting Chad Vegas here, but YouTube University is where it's at. There's so many resources out there to help you accomplish the actual goal. But have the drive, have the self-discipline to own it yourself. And these days I love where the church and technology is, because some of the technology our places have used to be so non-accessible. And now it's getting to the point where a lot of congregations and local church bodies can really utilize technology to advance the gospel in their neighborhood so much better, yet alone, you know, the gospel through around the world. So yeah, those are my two.
Toby, do you think they've made audiobook versions of the manuals yet? Because then I could read them.
Listen to the manual, Blake, before you ask questions.
I would love that.
I don't know. I'm just saying, reading it sounds like a lot of manual labor. Brad, that's good, man. We've heard that one before. And it's anytime we hear the same tech takeaway, I'm like, that's something to pay attention to. We've heard a lot of read the manual. Yeah. Still looking for the manual on operating Toby, but we'll see.
Tacos and books. We've been over this.
That's true. Well, Brad, man, do you have anything you want to plug here?
Hey, we're always hiring. So we're always looking for production, worship, and creative people who want to live in Louisville, which is a wonderful city to be in. So there that you can always follow us, Southeast Christ or Southeast Creative on Instagram, and keep up with what our team's up to. And I'm on there as well, usually trying to bring some awareness to some roles by posting some audio videos these days. So come hang.
Nice. Yes, I can attest. Louisville is a great, great city. Well, Brad, we appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me, man.
Thanks for hanging out with us.
We hope to see you back next week for more absurd stories, tech takeaways, and overall buffoonery here at the Church Gear Studios.
Blake, are we done yet? Because I really need to figure out whether Calvin's going to end up with Grace or Charlotte.
Man, I just can't even like imagine the fact that you're reading romance novels. I want to follow up on this storyline when you finished it. I mean, what are you going to do when you finish reading this romance novel and you actually have some time on your hands?
I mean, I'll probably post about it on Facebook because that's where Grandpa Toby lives.
I dare you. I freaking dare you to post on Facebook.
You think it's hard for me to post something embarrassing on Facebook?
When you finish this, you're going to post on Facebook that you read a romance novel. You're going to screenshot the title. And if you're listening to this episode, you should share this episode on Facebook for Grandpa Toby and then your Instagram story for Cousin Blake.
Cousin
you're
Blake.
You're Grandpa Toby. What am I?
You're the creepy uncle.
No.
Yes. Okay, Blake, I've been working on some jingles for our new website launch. So I've got churchy, churchy, church, church gear.
Toby, what have I told you about singing on the podcast? It doesn't work. But you know what is working? Our new website. You can actually get it to load on your phone. You can actually buy a new piece of gear without your phone bursting into flames.
Well, what if I spelled it out like C-H-U-R-C-G-E-R?
Toby, stop. That is not working. But you know what is working? The search bar on our website. You can actually search speakers and speakers will appear. No joke. That didn't always work.
Okay, what if I just did something like go to churchgear.com?
You know what? That one works.